Good morning and happy Easter to you. It is great to be with you this Easter Sunday. Did you know that the very first Easter didn't happen in a church? It happened outside of an empty tomb. The disciples were sequestered together in a home, grief-stricken, fear-laden, and worrying what the next few hours or days or weeks would hold. So in the words of a pastor's blog that I read a few days ago, we're going to be keeping things pretty biblical this Easter. Here we find ourselves in a situation much like that of the first Easter. We're apart from one another. We're socially distant. We're not able to gather together physically, so we're worshiping together virtually via Facebook Live. I'm so glad that you could join us. My prayer for us today is that just as the risen Christ brought peace to those first disciples, he will bring the same kind of peace to us as we gather together in homes all around our community and beyond to celebrate the risen Christ. The text I want to share with you this morning comes from John's Gospel. In his account of the resurrection, the risen Christ's appearance to his disciples. We're going to look at what the risen Christ did, and we're going to look at what the risen Christ gave to those first disciples. And then we're going to discover what the risen Christ continues to do and to give to us today. If you're following along in your Bibles, or if you've printed up the message notes from our website, we're going to look at John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23, from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Contained in these five verses are three facts about what the risen Christ did and three gifts the risen Christ gave to those first disciples, giving us a picture of what he continues to do and give to us today. The account we read from John's Gospel picked up on the events of the evening that Jesus rose from the dead. Earlier that day, Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene when she found that the tomb was empty. Now, in these verses, John records Jesus appearing to his disciples. As we read a few moments ago, Jesus' disciples were huddled together, having socially distanced themselves from everyone else, behind locked doors, consumed with fear and worry and anxiety of being found out and singled out as Jesus' followers. They were afraid that what happened to Jesus might just happen to them. Their fear was real. Well, we all experience fear, don't we? Sometimes it's slight, sometimes it's pretty intense, like Jesus' disciples must have been experiencing that night. Over the last few weeks, we've experienced in a whole new way what we might describe as new fears, or a new anxiety, or a new stress around the effects and the impact of the coronavirus on our lives and on the lives of the people we love and care about. Worry about the contagiousness of the virus, uncertainty about employment, anxiety around money and finances, stress over navigating non-traditional learning, new levels of concern over aged parents or family members or friends with pre-existing conditions that compound the potential effects of the virus, to name just a few. While our issues are different from theirs, Jesus' disciples were afraid. I think these words from John have a lot to say to us today amidst our fear. Because you see, into their fear, into their uncertainty, into their anxiety, and into their stress and pain and worry, Jesus did at least three things. Number one, he showed up. The doors were locked, but the text tells us that Jesus was simply there. He appeared from out of nowhere, Suddenly, John tells us, Jesus was standing there among them. Now here's one of the things that I think this teaches us. There's no place where we can go that Jesus isn't. Let me say that again. There's no place where we can go that Jesus isn't. There's no obstacle, there's no block, or there's no occasion that Jesus can't overcome. Whether that's a real physical place or something that we've created in our hearts or minds. Here's something else I think that this shows us. Jesus wants us to know him, so he comes in close, real close. Jesus' resurrection shows that Jesus can do what no one else can do. There is no one like him in the whole world, past, present, or future. He is alive, and he is the one who shows up unhindered right when we need him the most. I take comfort in the fact that one of Jesus' names in the Bible is Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he is always right there with us when we need him, because he is, in fact, always with us. Well, what did the risen Christ do that first Easter? Number one, he showed up. Number two, he addressed their fear. The disciples' leader, Jesus, had just been crucified as a threat to Caesar, so their fear was totally understandable. And into that fear, Jesus came with the words, "Peace be with you." In fact, he repeats himself, "Peace be with you." He says this twice. These words of peace actually echo a refrain we see all throughout the Bible. Don't be afraid. Literally hundreds of times, we see these words repeated in some fashion or another in the Bible. Like these from Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, God says, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Well, here's one of the most amazing things about the risen Christ. That into our fears, he, the risen Christ, Jesus, he comes. Into our fears, whatever they are, Jesus comes. Into our fears, wherever and whenever they come, Jesus comes. Now what I want you to notice, and it's subtle but powerful, is that the order of what Jesus does when he appears to his disciples is important. Jesus shows up first because his very presence enables the peace that they would experience when they knew that he was with them. Notice as well that Jesus didn't wait to be invited. He didn't even knock on the door. He didn't wait for the disciples to get their acts together first. He didn't wait for them to have sufficient faith to overcome their fear before he showed up. That's because Jesus comes to help us. To help us so that we will have enough faith to overcome our fears. Well, what did the risen Christ do that first Easter? Number one, he showed up. Number two, Jesus addressed their fear. And number three, Jesus proved that he was real. You might even think about it this way. He showed off in a most amazing and spectacular way. Jesus didn't call them out or deal with them distantly. Jesus didn't rebuke them, chastise them, or punish them. Instead, Jesus simply invited them to see him and to touch him and to even have a meal with him, to give them the undeniable proof that he knew they needed, the knowledge that he had in fact risen from the dead. So look what he did. In verse 20 it says he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And while we don't have the opportunity to actually see and touch the wounds of the risen Christ, here's what I know. The most compelling proof we have today that Jesus is real, that Jesus is alive, is God's unchanging word, the Bible, and countless lives that have been changed. You see, the essence of the Bible that we have today is the very same Bible that's been around since it was first canonized in the 2nd and 3rd century. Archaeology has supported and undergirded everything we have in the Bible and its record. And no one has ever been able to prove that anything we read in the Bible is unreliable, unreal, or untrue. In fact, the hundreds and thousands of archaeological artifacts that have been found to date have all contributed to the truthfulness and the accuracy of our Bible. Look what the Apostle Paul writes about the very words that he wrote that are included in our Bible. He writes this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. I pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. My friends, the words of the Bible and the countless millions of lives that have been changed and transformed testify that the risen Christ is real and that he is alive. So on that first Easter, here's what Jesus did. He showed up, risen from the dead. He addressed their fear and he showed off. He proved that he was real. Well, that's what he did. Now, let's look at the things, the gifts, really, that he gave. Here's what the risen Christ gave those first disciples. He gave the disciples a peace. He said, peace be with you. Now, peace be with you was a common Jewish greeting, wishing overall well-being on the other person. But in the context of John's gospel, it means far more than just a perfunctory greeting. John means it as something tangible, something personal, something real, a real kind of peace that they could experience because he was with them, fulfilling the prophecy from the book of Isaiah that referred to Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And the peace that he provided was a peace with God, knowing that he was with them. A peace with others, knowing that they were in this together, and a peace with themselves, knowing that the peace they could experience was palatable. It was real. It's a peace that could be known and experienced by grace through faith in Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:14, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us." You see, it's a peace one can only get through a personal and communal relationship with the risen Jesus. The Apostle Paul put it this way, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." And here's what's super important. Bible scholar John Piper writes, "We don't initiate peace with Jesus by our actions. He initiates peace with us. It's a peace one can experience even during the uncertainties about employment, the anxieties about money and finance, the stress over navigating non-traditional learning, the worries about the health of our loved ones and aging parents, and so much more. You see, the risen Christ gave his followers a peace that the writer of Philippians lifts up that exceeds anything we can understand. On that first Easter, the risen Christ, number one, gave the disciples his peace. Number two, the risen Christ gave the disciples a power. Jesus promised them power with his very presence, that his Holy Spirit would come, would be with them, that he would abide with them, and that he would empower them. A power that we discover enabled them to love like they had never been able to love, to forgive, to overcome sin, to change their present, to do great things, remarkable things, even miraculous things. All throughout the New Testament, we see this promise ring true. In Acts 1:8, it says, "You and anyone like you who puts their faith and trust in the risen Christ will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And in the midst of these uncertain days, the disciples faced, and in the midst of the uncertain days we all are facing, the words of 2 Timothy are filled with power, and they were intended to speak truth into the lives of Jesus' followers then, and they continue to do that today. 2 Timothy 1 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Isn't that good news? Followers of Jesus don't have to be afraid or timid because they have been given superpowers. Power over fear, power over timidity, power of love, and power of self-discipline. Now again, the order of the gifts Jesus gave to his disciples was important. Jesus wanted his followers to first of all have peace before power, and power before the third gift he gave them, purpose. I would summarize it this way: with peace comes power to be and to do what we were created to be and to do. So again, on that first Easter, the risen Christ gave his disciples peace. On that first Easter, the risen Christ gave the disciples power. And third, on the first Easter, the risen Christ gave the disciples a purpose. Let me say what I have said a few moments ago. With peace comes power to be and to do what we were created to be and to do. You see, we were created to do. That's our purpose. In John 20, 21, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Because you see, as followers of Jesus, we are sent into the world to show and tell the gospel. Do you remember when you were a kid and you got to do show and tell in school? I love show and tell days. You got to show a picture or a craft you made, maybe a skill you had, or show your class a souvenir from your vacation. Well, it's the same for followers of Jesus. Because you see, we are called and commissioned for a very special purpose: to show and to tell others what a relationship with Jesus is all about. We show by our choices, our actions, and our decisions. We show by what we do and by what we don't do. We show by where we go and where we don't go. We show by what we give, how we serve, the priorities we set, and the like. In other words, we show others what a relationship with the risen Christ is by how we live. But that's not all. Show and tell means nothing without the tell. The first time I read these words from Romans 10:14, I realized just how important the telling is. Check this out. The Apostle Paul writes, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" When Jesus said in verse 23, "If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven," here is what he was in essence saying. You tell others about my grace. You tell others about my forgiveness. You tell them so that they will hear it, so that they will experience it, so they will receive it, and so they will share it. You tell them so that they can live in it. So God's given us his word to show us who he is and to tell us who he is. John summarizes it well this way in John chapter 20, verse 31. "These words are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have power. You will have life by the power of his name." This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that by believing in him, we will have life, eternal, everlasting, and abundant by the power of his name. You see, when we think about our purpose as followers of Jesus, it really hasn't changed after all these years since that very first Easter. Because you see, when we speak the words of the gospel, God is speaking through us. It was the first disciples' purpose, and it's our purpose as well. And so the message of Easter, what I want you to hear today is this. What Jesus did and gave to those first disciples, he continues to do and give to us today. On that first Easter, when his followers were huddled together, frightened and unsure about where to go and what to do, how to live, and what their future held, what he did and what he gave, he continues to do and give to us today. Because here's what I know. The risen Christ, number one, he always shows up right where and when we need him. The risen Christ, he always addresses our fears and tells us to fear not, because he is with us. And the risen Christ, he proves that he is real by the testimony of his word and the testimony of his people. The risen Christ, he gives us peace right when and where we need it. The risen Christ, he gives us power to be and to do what we were created to be and to do. The risen Christ, he gives us a purpose to show and tell the world about his most amazing grace. And so, my friends, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what your tomorrow holds, we who know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus can find comfort in the knowledge that when we need him, Jesus shows up. He addresses our fears and he shows up. He gives us peace, he gives us power, and he gives us purpose. Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for making yourself real. Real 2,000 years ago and real today. That we might come to know you, to experience you today and all of our tomorrows. That you come, that your Holy Spirit brings your peace, and you give us the power to overcome the obstacles and the difficulties in our lives. Because we know that you are with us, that there is no one like you. For you are our Lord, you are our God, and we will put our faith, our trust, our hope in you, and you alone, because you are the risen Christ. We thank you, O God, for Easter. Let Easter be real for us today.